In this week's episode of Backroom Talk, Carl Hardwick and Georgia Smith caught up with CrossFit athlete Amanda Goodman. Part of the OPEX family since 2013, Amanda's been a regionals, games, and grid athlete. Her passion and determination has seen her weather countless highs and lows and shaped her into the incredible athlete she is.
Give us kind of a quick rundown of who Amanda Goodman is and where she comes from.
We're born in the Bronx, but we went to school. By the time I went to school, we were on Long Island. My mom lives out there. My dad lives still on the island, but in Queens, right by JFK. And I've always seen both my parents live predominantly with my mom. And then, just went to school, was very active. My mom needed to put me in something. Yeah. You know, and so we just played around with that, and then gymnastics just ended up being it, and that like really made the decision for, that was like what made my decision, right, for everything. Yeah. And we can call it gymnastics, we can call it sport, whatever you want to call it, but it was like I chose my high school specifically because it had gymnastics and it gave me the opportunity to compete. I chose my college for the same exact thing. And then when that was done, it was done. But it was, I mean, it was a blast.
Yeah.
I got to compete, you know, around the country. I was at a D2 school, but we had our coach, like, you know, played the system a little bit, and we had, like, the largest team in the country. So that was, you know, just, like, an experience there.
So you were, like, you were really good at gymnastics, though. You didn't just, like, do gymnastics as a young kid.
Yeah. I guess I was pretty good. I was pretty decent. I didn't compete on an elite level, but I made it up to level 10 in a pretty short amount of time. I did all right, you know, won a few state championships, made it to regionals and things. And then it wasn't until college that we made it to, you know, nationals. Mm-hmm. And I was always on the roster, you know. I didn't do all four events in college. I was a specialist, but I don't really know how many other sports work, but in gymnastics, you want to be the anchor. Because I didn't get to do all four events, the events that I specialized in, like, I made sure, like, I was always on that count, you know, and that was, like, that was what motivated me.
Where'd you go to school? College?
I went to University of Bridgeport in Connecticut.
Okay.
Small school on the water, like 2 hours away from my home.
When I think of Connecticut, I think of billions, like we talked about before we started, and I think about a lot of money and a lot of you know what I'm getting at, right? Like that's what I think about when I think of Connecticut.
So
how was it going from the Bronx, Long Island, to Connecticut?
Yeah, so well, don't forget that I was in gymnastics, right? I was in gymnastics, and then I also, I went to Catholic school as well. I spent time with people from different areas from myself, but yes, moving into Connecticut was slightly different. If anybody knows anything about Bridgeport is very large, but it's not affluent whatsoever. But it is part of Fairfield County, which is one of the richest like counties in America. So just being in that area ties you to some of those other pieces. And yeah, it really just kind of opens you up, you know, places like Westport, Greenwich, stuff like that. We were literally on the same exact road as Sacred Heart University. Yep. Basically all the kids that I went to high school with, you know, that didn't end up in my area, they went to like that school.
Yeah.
You know, they went to, and they lived in Fairfield and.
So when did CrossFit happen? So you, gymnast as a kid, go to college, compete, make it to nationals, regionals, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then, after that, I was working at a gymnastics facility and figuring out kind of what else I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I knew I like liked fitness, and I knew I kind of wanted to like, I knew I still like to help people, So I ended up just kind of looking more towards like a personal trainer thing. And there happened to be a CrossFit gym right next door to the gymnastics facility. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all in Connecticut. So it happened to be like right next door. The owner of my boss at the time, the owner of the gymnastics facility, she was already going to the CrossFit facility, so they already knew each other, and so they just kind of like hooked me up. As I was telling you earlier, my first workout, you know, was Fran.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, come in, I want you to experience, right? The normal thing. I want you to experience it so you know what you're getting into and whatever. So I went in, did Fran, did it strict. Yelled at everybody, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
They were yelling at me.
Yeah, fair enough, I would yell back too.
They were yelling at me, they were just screaming at me, you know, just like, again, nothing's changed. Pick it up, all the things.
Yeah.
Shut up. I'll go when I'm ready. So yeah, the best thing I think I remember out of that is when Ben, and this all ties in, right? Ben, the owner of the CrossFit gym, he pulls me into his office. He talks to me about a whole bunch of stuff. He mentions something about the job or whatever, and like that he'd like to keep me on. But he gives me a disclaimer. He's like, you can't yell at my wife. Like, I just remember that. So he's like, but you can't yell at my wife. He's like, you can stay. But I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, she was yelling at me. So that was that. And then, so I stayed on. They mentioned competition. I didn't really know what that meant,
yeah.
But I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
All right, I'll compete. And then I later found out that Ben Kelly was being coached by James Fitzgerald.
So that's the initial connection.
And that's the initial into
this.
Were you just good from day one at CrossFit?
I think so.
Yeah.
Right. I knew I could do all the skills, and I adapted pretty well. But yeah, I didn't know anything. Like, I knew as it was happening.
Sure.
Because they pulled me in, and I agreed to. This is how you know I don't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I agreed to a team. I was on a team the first year. I was on the team for CrossFit Performance. I think their affiliate name was. And that was back when it was. That was back when it was six, and that was back before there were rules about like who had to do which workouts, you know what I mean? Like, they changed that in 2014, so in, or 2013 with the muscle ups at the front end. But yeah, they changed that. So that year I was on, not only was I on the team, but I participated in 5 out of the 6 workouts.
Yeah.
So I was just like all over, and like, I remember day two, the one workout that I wasn't in, something went awry.
Sure.
And I was just in the back, and I was just like, I'm never doing this again. Like, you know.
What is it though? Why are you an individual athlete, and why are you not a team athlete?
I can be a team athlete. I've done it before in gymnastics, in college, it becomes a team thing. It was something completely different than I had ever experienced. But it was great, and we, you know, maybe it was just the right time, the right people, whatever. But what I was missing on that specific CrossFit team, and I think which is part of the right, because CrossFit's still an individual sport. And when you pull it into a team aspect, the best team is the best individuals that come together, right? So that's what we were missing, right? That they weren't bringing their best selves to this, and we weren't all on the same page. And that's where, like, I didn't necessarily agree with that. But if you fast forward, at least in my career, right, later on I was in Grid.
Yeah.
And, that we'll call it maybe a little bit more business oriented on that end. Maybe I'm a pain in the ass on the field or whatever, but I fucking get my job done, mm-hmm. You know? And that's all I expect from my teammates. And if we can do that, then we can have fun.
Yeah.
would you jump on a team again?
If everybody understands what they're bringing to the table, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we're, you know, of this.
Amanda's like, if everyone else is good.
Absolutely.
Just say it. It's all right.
Absolutely. But that is really what makes you a standout athlete, though, is that mentality. Like, it's your job. It's everything. How did you get to that? Was it always that way with gymnastics, or?
I think maybe it was pushed in there a little bit through gymnastics. You know, it was, right? The whole point of practice was to, when you compete, you just execute, right? Like, it shouldn't necessarily be a thought. You're just up there and you're just performing. And so it's the same. So I've taken those principles and just applied the same. Yeah. It's like, when we're out there, we're performing, and you're showing all the things that you've done, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, so if you're not prepared, right? Like, what have you been doing?
Cool. Has that evolved over the years?
Not necessarily. I guess there's more understanding around variables. Mm-hmm. To maybe loosen that, but I think it still comes down to, like, right, prepare as best as you can, perform as best as you can, yeah. and you will only perform well if you've prepared well.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think you'd apply that to something else? Let's say you never did gymnastics and you never took the CrossFit path. Would you have that mindset if you were working a regular job, I don't know, in sales or as a lawyer, or is it because of sport?
There's a part of me that would like to think that, but I have no idea. And I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think if I would be living a completely different life if it wasn't for sport.
What do you think that would look like?
I still see two paths of, like, just yes being, like, you know, just determined, and then the other of just being, like, just almost, you know. Actually, I don't know if I even believe it as I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know, maybe I would have been normal, but. No.
let's pick it back up in 2012. So you're at CrossFit Performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys compete. What happens in 2013, 14?
Well, right at the end of 2012, I made it vocal that I wanted to compete as an individual. And somewhere, I don't really know, there was a lot of backroom shit happening. Yeah. yeah, there was a lot of things happening, you know, for my benefit, but that I wasn't completely aware of. But yeah, Ben and James had been talking a lot about me and my, I guess, potential or my path or whatever. I had decided what I wanted. And so James was, I'm not sure when he started, but he started programming for me for the 2013 season.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if it was, you know, in August or January or whatever, but I know he started programming for me in the 2013 season. And then I met him at the 2012 games, and I didn't, like, really remember until later on, but I met him at the 2012 games, and then where I really, like, met him, I guess, was at an athlete camp. They sent me to an athlete camp in Naples in, I think that was the beginning of 2013, something like that, and, right, and he spoke, and I was like, I'm here, I'm in, I'm sold, let's go. He continued to program for me. I came out here. He was here. I came out here for 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the 2013 regional. And that's when they had athletes on site. Mo, Danny, Megan. There was a few others, Colin, Lauren, whatever. And they were in this small ass building across town.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had athlete training times and everything, and I was here and I was just immersed in it for 3 weeks, and it was amazing. And I left, went to regionals. I remember being nervous as shit, and James being not worried one bit and, like, telling me to just kind of, you know, he's like, you're fine. he was there. He was actually there. And then, yeah, qualified for the first games. Went to the games. I was still living in Connecticut there. No real contact with James. Saw James at the games. We spoke a little bit. I went back to Connecticut. we had our consult maybe, you know, a month or so later, and then I decided to move.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I was out here by the end of that 2013.
What changed when James took over, like in getting ready for that 2013 season? Like, what changed in your program? What changed in nutrition? What did that look like?
Again, a lot of the beginning things were implemented by Ben, but we see the funnel,
yeah.
Right? I'm like, we all see the funnel. but yeah, so it was just like day-to-day things that I don't know if I can necessarily be as specific as to, like, you know, more recent years where I could be like, oh yeah, me and James sat down and we wrote out a, you know, what my food plan looks like for a week, and then I just followed that for 8 months. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That's. But yeah. So in the beginning, it was just you know, just things. Just do this, eat like this, try this. You know, all this other stuff. And I remember feeling different. And if we understand the cycle of the training year, especially the regional training year, I remember feeling different and like confident and ready that like January.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just remember just being like, fuck, this is what I need to be doing. You know, like, I just felt it. I was like, I would get my training and I would just be so excited. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to be doing. And this is what makes me feel like good.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, especially back then when the season was organized that way, mm-hmm. a lot of athletes that I came in contact with, that was like a scary time for them. Like, January comes around and they're like, oh fuck, like this is it. I actually don't have any more time to get better. And they don't have confidence, right? So going into, you know, that February timeframe, March, April, May, if you have confidence moving forward, that's a massive game changer. Did you have that same confidence the year prior? Before?
In 2012?
Yeah.
No, I had fuck no. I had just started. I was doubting everything. Are you kidding me? Especially in that January. Yeah, that January. I think I was probably maybe just like still in the beginning adrenaline, you know. But then the open came, that February, and I actually qualified for regionals as an individual. And I remember like posing that question, like, well, you know, like, do I do that or do I do this? And it really just came down to like. I mean, I guess, you know, like what I valued, like I had already committed to this team.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel right for me to pull out of that. I wasn't aware of anything really.
Yeah.
I would say that 2012 year, it wasn't significant like that, right? Like January is significant, right? Right before being here, right before regionals, you know, that was significant.
2013 games, what happens?
2013 games, oh boy. Well, I was very excited. And then I got there, and I think this happens to, you know, I will go with about half the people that get there, but it was just like you're hit by a fucking truck. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky. The swim workout was in a pool. I had never done like real open water swimming. Like, I was practicing, but in the Sound, if anybody knows what that is, like, that's not the ocean and it's gross. And then we finished that into a half marathon row. We went right from there, from the bus, I rode a half marathon. And that was.
Welcome to the games.
Yes, yes, welcome. No, not even welcome to the games, right? It was those two, they gave us a day off. You know, they fed us dinner and stuff like that. That was nice. And then, boom, Friday, fucking burden run with the goddamn pig. Oh my God, it was like, I've heard other people, other games athletes, claim that was one of the most challenging, like, startups, years, workouts. But, I mean, yes, it was challenging as hell. I do, you know, I enjoyed it, but... Fuck, I remember that workout. It was so hard. And I just like, yeah. I just, that, the sled, the final sled was just like, it would, I don't even think there was much weight on it.
Yeah.
But it just felt like 500 pounds. And I wasn't going anywhere. I just kept slipping, eating the ground. It was, a lot of adapting.
Yeah.
I learned how to flip that pig. The original pig was huge. They changed it, made it smaller. It was better, easier to flip in 2015. Yeah. So yeah, after 2013.
Where'd you end up, 2013? How'd you finish?
I got cut. Oh no, wait, yeah, well, Burden Run was, right, Burden Day was, Burden Run was Friday, or the first of the 3 days. And then, yeah, I went in so excited, whatever, those were my first three workouts, so as we could imagine, by Friday night, they started to bring out some CrossFit, but I was already fucking crushed. And then, I don't know if I can remember in this moment, the Saturday morning workout. But the Saturday night workout I think it was Nancy.
Yeah.
I think it was Nancy. Which in retro, which right, like after the fact, James told me I did really well on. I didn't feel like it. But after Nancy, boom, clean and jerk. That was my shit right there. I knew exactly where I was at on that one. It was like everybody knew. It was like everybody knew that I was going to win that one. I didn't really know. Like I knew I was going to do well, but I didn't really know that I was going to win. It was like but me.
What did you clean and jerk?
235.
At like 115 pounds?
Pretty much. Yeah, I was super light. I was like 135 that year, which I came out of that first day, you know, after being crushed by the Burden Run, like just like looking at everybody. And I remember like saying, I'm like, I think I need to gain weight. Like, you know, I think I just need a little bit more to sustain. But yeah, after the clean and jerk, I mean, that was great. I won that. But I was still just like crushed, right? Everybody got to compete Sunday morning, and then they made cuts. This was right. This was when they were still making cuts before they stopped making cuts before now they make cuts. Like, so just right. And I was fucking crushed. And those workouts were awesome. Those were the Cinco workouts. I don't know if you remember those, but yes. It was just like, right, I had handstand walking, ring muscle ups, handstand push ups, weighted pistols.
Would be in your jam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was good, I guess, you know, to sit and to watch that. And I sat and I watched that with James. And we had a good talk. And he told me the truth, you know, just like he basically told me, like, he knew I was going to get cut. Not in those words, but like, yeah. And it just kind of like, it made everything better in that moment. Like, it just made everything better just because, like, it was just like, all right, well, this is kind of, you know, this is where I'm at. And so that gave me new perspective for the next year. Weirdly enough, I did go back to Connecticut for a little bit. And then in that interim, before actually moving here, I got injured. And I don't remember which one at this point, but I tore one of my shoulders. And so that pushed me into just like a lot of uncertainty, especially moving out here, you know, like I was like, shit, they're pulling me out here. They got me with all these people and I can't fucking do anything. but we had a really good environment back then. And yeah, and that really helped. You know, and then as you know, or at least if you're around here, you know, we have a really good team, you know, of people to like refer out to and stuff like that. So yeah, so I was just, we'll call it under constant care for the first like 6 months. And then boom, Southwest Regional, made it to the second games. And then grid. And then games and then grid.
Where did it start doing this? When did your body start rejecting all of this shit?
2015 grid season.
Just for context, what is grid for people that have never heard of it?
Grid is CrossFit on steroids. To simplify it, it's mostly gymnastics and weightlifting in a team setting, and then you're racing, yeah. Right? Other teams doing. Yeah, anything crazy, even weighted gymnastics, right? So I mean, that was great, right? It was a professional team format. I can't tell you how many people were on the team, maybe 20 or so, right? We lived together, trained together, all this stuff, very high intensity. And I'll be honest, I was probably made for that. you know, but yeah, it was just a lot. And the first year of Grid, right, they started off way too big. And I think it was the emotional toll,
yeah.
To be honest. I think it would be the emotional toll. Like the first year of Grid, right, we were in, we were all in, they had all this stuff happening, whatever, and then something happened. They lost money, and then they were like, it's over, you know? And we were still running. Most of us had been to that games, the 2014 games, and so we had just ran through that, right? Like, just on fumes and just adrenaline. And when they, I remember me specifically, like, when they said that was over, I just fucking just shut down.
Were you looking for Grid to replace CrossFit for you? Because you felt like it was made for you.
Oh.
You got to do the shit that you were really good at.
Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely, right? Like, yeah, it was, right, we had signed contracts. The proposal was fantastic, and almost everybody that we talked to is like, the proposal was fantastic, but just like, they started way too fucking big, and the people that saw, like, people that didn't even know what CrossFit was, that like, they watched it on TV, and they're like, I don't really know what's happening, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, well.
You know? So we thought that would be it, right? But yeah, and then they shut it down. And so yeah, I was fucking done. And it was at least 2 weeks before we had like heard anything else. So I was just, like me personally, I was just like grieving, right? I was grieving that. I was grieving the end of my season, figuring out whatever was next and all this stuff. And I was just in shutdown mode. And then they decided something happened and then they picked it back up. And so you're just at this point of like, well, you know, like, do you sit back or do you just push through? And then you push through. Like, yeah, it was great, but I was very far from healthy, you know?
Well, it's like ending a Super Bowl. Right? The CrossFit Games is like the Super Bowl. And then a couple weeks later saying, okay, we're starting preseason and another season is starting. And just like you're saying, right? It's like CrossFit, there's athletes that do that shit year round, right? Like they can do it year round. Maybe they're not peaked year round, but you throw something like Grid in there where it's like everything is so high intensity and it takes 2-3 days to recover from a real match. Whereas, you know, CrossFit, you can go hit some events. Yeah, there may be something really tough, really high intensity, but Grid is just like, it just kicks your ass over and over and over because there's no putting your foot on the brake, right? So just wrapping your brain around ending a Super Bowl, then actually playing a sport that's more demanding than the Super Bowl that you just finished, and then just kind of going through that with the uncertainties of, can I actually make a career out of this? And the ups and downs of signing contracts and then getting it pulled, and then, okay, we're gonna do this shit in Utah, so we're all gonna go here, and...
I was already emotionally wrecked, and, like, physically, like, the end of Grid 2014, I was just, like, a big puffball, mm-hmm. like, just inflammation.
Yeah.
Like, I felt heavy, but it worked well for Grid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, fuck, I was like, I'm fucking heavy. I was like, but I need to move this heavy weight, so whatever. So we just, right, we ate whatever, we did whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What is James telling you throughout this time?
At that time, James was injured.
Yeah, that's when he tore his hamstring off the bone, right?
Yeah, James tore
playing
his
Grid.
Playing Grid, yep. The first match, James tore his hamstring. I mean, there wasn't, you know, I didn't really express much. I have to say, like, what, you know, like, as you were saying, all these things about, you know, of what we know about Grid now, we didn't, that's important as well. It's like, we didn't really know what it would do to us.
Yeah.
I explained Grid and CrossFit, like, I compared them to, like, baseball and football.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, CrossFit's like baseball. You know, you could play 160 games a year.
Yeah.
if you just spread it out enough and whatever. And, you know, like football, you got 16 games.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Any more than that, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that was grid. And we did baseball and fucking grid in one season,
yeah.
in two seasons.
That's actually really good. I've never heard those that connection.
Do you still feel any of the physical or mental consequences of that?
I know more.
Yeah.
You know, I know more. It definitely it's put me very in tune with my body. Yeah, not too many. I've been very lucky to come back from most of my injuries.
Yeah,
I've been injured quite a bit. it was 2014 went, and then we went right into, I don't remember if I had, I don't think I think it was fine 2014 into 2015. I think that's the, I'm like, if I remember correctly, that is the 1 year that we had, like, uninjured. And then, 2015 went to the games. Great fucking year. Felt fantastic. And even, like, left the games, like, you know, feeling like I had more in this specific aspect, right? Came off of the games, took I can't even remember how long it was, but I remember it not being long enough. And I was in Connecticut, and it was probably like a week or so before I had to come back. And I think it was a phone call. I talked to James, and I was like, I don't feel ready. I was like, I don't feel ready. And he was basically like, yeah, you're not gonna, mm-hmm. but we gotta go. He probably said some other things, but that's how I interpreted it, you know? And so it was just that mentality the whole year. And I was fucking wrecked. Every match. It was fun, but yeah, that cost me a year, you know?
What part, when you had that conversation with James, what were your emotions going into that conversation? Were you like, did you feel like, oh, I'm letting him down, or I'm letting this thing or myself down, or were you just like, I can't fucking do this, I'm not ready to go? And did you expect to end it there, or did you expect to, you know, have that conversation and James say, hey, we're still fucking rolling, we're still doing this thing?
I expected him to keep me on track because that's his job,
yeah.
Or at least I think that's understood between us, is
yeah.
That's part of what I expect from him,
yeah.
Right, to just remind me of the realities of it,
yeah.
You know, don't fucking sugarcoat it, you know, which he doesn't, you know, it would have been a different conversation if I was like, James, I'm not ready, and, you know, like, if he'd be like, oh, it's okay, you
yeah.
know, like, some sort of, like, fluffed up bullshit, but just like, you know, she's like, no, you're not gonna be ready, but, but this is it, right,
yeah.
You know, and, so I knew those things going in, and so, of course, I had all of those thoughts. Yeah, he's just there to like clear up the things I usually know, you know? But I just have a lot of emotion around. And that's not saying that the emotion isn't just. But yeah, it's just.
What would you have done if you didn't have James in that situation? Would you have shut it down? Or would you have pushed forward? I know it's tough.
I would have never even been in that situation.
Yeah.
Explain. What do you mean by that?
In order for James to be in the conversation in between grid or in between CrossFit and grid, right? James had to have been there before CrossFit and
yeah.
grid.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. So if in that moment James wasn't there, then yeah, I probably would have. Yeah, everything probably would have gone to the wind because then what the fuck were we doing?
Yeah, that's a challenging time, right?
Yeah, it's like, right? It's like if we just did, you know, if we've just worked together for 3 or 4 years and at this pivotal moment, right, in that moment, it was very important to me. And if I had understood that he was a part of that journey up until then, if he had not been there, right? If I felt that I couldn't reach out to him, then what is that whole other relationship?
Yeah, yeah.
So by, you know, head down, pushing through, even if you know you're not going to get exactly what your dream situation would have been out of it, what did you learn from that experience?
I mean, I did learn to listen to my body a little bit. I mean, we learned that you can't do CrossFit and grit at the same time. Fuck, you know, I learned that I needed more rest. Yeah, it was just, you know, just a lot of the obvious, like, physical learning, and then just the internal struggles of just, like, what we're chasing and why we're doing it, you know? I think I've said this before, and I think I kind of said this to James, and I don't know if he understood it, but he was a little taken back, and I might have said it differently, but it's like, we're, yes, I'm doing it for the challenge, but like also for the experience. Mm. You know, like, it's like I have the ability to do it, so why not run with it? And sometimes you run into the wall.
Yeah. Is that what training and competing is for you today? 2020, this year, why do you get up and do it?
Yeah, because I can, and there's those, like, those, I mean, the goals have changed a little, like the specifics within the training, right? It's less, don't get me wrong, I mean, I'd love to back squat 350, but it's, right, but it's less about chasing the back squat at the 350, and right, my challenge has always been sustainability, or that the aerobic capacity. So it's just like, yeah, proving like sustainability within mixed modal work or even cyclical work and things like that. Like, it's just like the fact that I can do that, and I can do that still, is just, it still fucking blows my mind.
Yeah. So you said the goals have shifted. Do you mean just relative to each individual training session, or bigger picture?
I mean, I guess both, right? Due to the landscape as well, mm-hmm. Right? Right, we have to be realistic.
Yeah.
I would do better if they kept it at 15 to 20 events. Mm-hmm. You know, where 8 to 12 of them were CrossFit.
Yeah.
But it's not like that, you know? I've attended multiple competitions where there's 6 fucking events. And I attended a competition where there were 6 events, and there was 3 events in one, and they had 1 fucking score that was basically weighted amongst the whole thing. Like, right? Like, just absolutely absurd. And that's fine, right? If that's how they want to run it. But it's just not, I don't know if I have skin in that game.
Where was your head at around this whole Greg Glassman deal that we experienced a couple months ago?
Oh,
Because you're in the sport, right? Like, you're,
yeah.
And you've been in the sport a long time. So,
yeah.
Where were you at on that?
Greg Glassman, I was not surprised whatsoever.
Yeah.
I slightly thought it was, I kind of thought it was fantastic. You know, that he would just be himself in the public. Mm-hmm. And it just shows people, like, who he truly is. And the system in which they're involved in,
yeah.
Right? And how well it replicates the current system,
yeah.
Within the country that we are currently living in.
So by you saying you weren't surprised, was it, you weren't surprised based upon your experiences in functional fitness, CrossFit, or just experiences in life, or both?
Both, right? Again, living in America, I'm brown, you know, and then I'm a female too. I guess that, I've been told that's an oppressive piece as well. But yeah, and then I also, yeah, I'm in CrossFit, right? Which CrossFit, like I said, it mirrors America. You know, it's a society that, you know, glorifies the police and the military, and we see where that's at right now, just as far as, like, that mentality, right? So, yeah, I'm not surprised that there would be people within the organization who think that way or think that they may or may not be superior, right?
Well, not within the organization, the...
The organization, right? Yeah, no, the leader, and then, of course, yeah, people... Well, if yeah, if that guy's there, right, what is the rest of the community looks like? Yes, yeah. So yeah, no, not surprised whatsoever. I will say that I'm lucky. I don't know where it is, where, right? Like, I've been in CrossFit, but not really. Like, I've always been with OPEC, so I've kind of been blacklisted, but I've never received any direct, like, disrespect from anybody. So, you know, so I can't necessarily say that, but anything, like, personal. But we all have the internet. We all see ads, right, and things like that. And you can even see that within the people, amongst their own people, right, and who they choose to promote. We'll call it. I think it could be good, a change in hand at the top. I don't know Eric Rosa. I don't know anything about him. You know, he could be a great guy. But he could also be more of the same because he's been within the system for so long. Yeah. Right? So, yeah.
You weren't very vocal, right, in saying, like, you saw a ton of athletes, you know, posting stuff on social media saying, like, I'm out. Like, you know, I can't support this. Mm-hmm. You were kind of in the background still doing your thing here. Mm-hmm. Were you planning on, let's say Glassman was still in, mm-hmm. were you still going to compete this year?
My relationship with CrossFit has never been in any, like, loyalty to CrossFit. CrossFit has been an avenue in which I can express myself.
Yeah.
So that's why I choose to participate within it. And I think that's maybe why GRID was so emotional, mm-hmm. right? Because it was something completely different. And I know I'm not the only one that thought GRID could pull them away from CrossFit. And GRID actually did sever some CrossFitters' relationships with CrossFit mm-hmm. because of their specific choice to choose a different route, right? And so that, even in itself, right? It's just, all these people that wanna support, right? Not my culture, all this stuff. It's like, look at all of the things. It's historically exclusive. But to change your mindset right now, like, be based off this one thing, it's like you're showing your ignorance.
But I think it's important for people to understand that you weren't, like you said, you weren't, like, immersed in the CrossFit culture, like, drinking the Kool-Aid on a daily basis, because you've been under this roof, right? So being under this roof, you already felt kind of like CrossFit's over here, OPEC is over here, I'm doing my thing on a day-to-day basis, I only go over there to compete, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's it, and then now I'm back here. Whereas there were a lot of people that were actually living over here on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. right? Like, they were associated directly with CrossFit. So I can see their side where it's like they were emotionally attached to that thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, you really weren't. You're just like, I'm over here doing my thing anyway. You guys figure your shit out and let me know when I can come and compete again.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, like I said, it's just, the people that were right there and immersed in it coming out, oh my God, you know, it's like you're just, right, you want to commend them for now being aware, right, and hope that they make change for the future, but it's like, you're showing your ignorance right now. It's like, where have you been?
Yeah. Big question, what does change for the future mean to you?
I mean, creating a space where it's, you know, where conversations can happen, where you can bring opposing ideas, right? Where people can come, right? Can come in and out of your system as they choose, as long as they're not a detriment to it, right? I understand that. But it's not, it's just more of the same, right? CrossFit America is like, it's in theory, right? It's not supposed to be a monopoly. There's supposed to be enough for everybody. So when you have this one person just trying to crush everybody else, it's like, it's not fun. It's not fucking fun, you know? Walking on eggshells, worrying about if you're gonna get thrown out because you say the wrong thing against somebody's name or some shit like that. Like, let us be and let us play. Like, that's all it is. It's fucking sport. You'll make your money, you know?
Hopefully that changes. You know, we'll see, but hopefully that changes with the new guy up top, and, you know, hopefully that changes for us, right? It's like, we would love to you know, rekindle that relationship and be able to, you know, not step on eggshells and be able to have a presence at these larger competitions where we're not allowed to do that right
now. Getting banned from places and shit like that. Like, it's just that, you know, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd. It's childish behavior and it promotes an immature culture and, you know, yeah, it's just.
Like you said, it's sport, it's fitness. Like, we're all here because of this one powerful thing, which is fitness, which has had a profound impact on all of our lives. And yeah, the fact that we let our differences and the need to be the loudest person in the room affect that and what really matters is just insane. Well, Amanda, it's been awesome having you on. I would love to finish with one last question, which is if you could share one thing about fitness with the world, what would that be?
I don't know, I can't get away from the word. It's just like a gateway to whatever the fuck you want to do. You know, like it's more than physical.
Stay with us for some backroom talk as Carl and Georgia reflect on their conversation with Amanda.
I'm always fascinated by people's like finding CrossFit stories, mm-hmm. You know, the first time they walked into a CrossFit gym and the first workout they did. And I was so struck by how vastly different Amanda's introduction and like subsequent path in CrossFit was to mine. And it just speaks so much to her identity as an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, she was just always on that path towards pursuing competition and athletics from like day one of being in the gym.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where when she walked into it, it was something that wasn't like real or substantial yet, right? Like, CrossFit wasn't this massive idea and this massive thing, mm-hmm. back in 2011, 2012. It was getting there like that year and the next year. But I think she looked at it as like being a little bit less than what she came from, right?
Yeah.
Like, competitive gymnastics. She probably walked in the gym, she's like, I got this. And mm-hmm. she's in her story when she talked about, you know, yelling at the gym owners and telling them to shut the fuck up and stuff like that, right? It's like that kind of showed there where it was like, I'm an athlete, I know what I'm doing. So it's almost one of those things where, you know, you look at 2015 to even today, people's introduction to CrossFit, there's a little bit of fear behind it, right? Like, you walk in, you're thinking about ESPN and mm-hmm. the games and all the things that you've seen, and she walked into it like, what is this thing? I'm an athlete, I can do this way better than everyone else in this room. She didn't say those words, but that's what I got from it.
Yeah.
So she's almost the, and then kind of going a little bit deeper, further into her story, it's like she's the epitome of a full-time athlete, right? Like, she lives it, she breathes it, that's what she does on a daily basis. So I think what was interesting is getting some insights into what does that actually look and feel like when you're fully invested into this thing, the goods and the bads.
And on the note of the bads, I did find it fascinating how just kind of at the whims of organizations you are as an athlete. Like, you can control what you do in the gym, you can control your training and everything you put in there, but her story about grid and the highs and then the ultimate lows and just that not panning out the way that she really obviously hoped it did. It's fascinating how, yeah, just someone else can take that away from you.
Yeah, that's the real world, right? In professional sports, even sports that are, you know, let's take the highest level, like, you know, the MLS or MLB or NFL. It's like, yes, those organizations are still rolling and they're going very, very strong, but an athlete comes into those things and their average lifespan is 1 to 3 years, and then they're out because someone's telling them that you're not good enough and we found someone better than you. So that wasn't her story. Her story was the organization actually shutting down, but the emotions are exactly the same, right? It's the same as being cut. Like, I've been cut from a professional sports team before, and it was like, I wasn't so invested where I, you know, cried in my pillow. I was like, I kind of expected that, so I'm gonna move on.
Sure, you didn't die.
But you know, you see people that are fully invested in their sport and in athletics, and they get cut, and there's no more opportunities. That's real life, and now they're like, now what am I going to do, right?
Yeah. So, funny side note, I saw Amanda in the gym the weekend after we filmed, and she walked up to me, big smile on her face, and she said, guess what James sent to me for my workout next week? She got Fran, which was her first workout in CrossFit, and she'd made a point of telling us that she had never done Fran since that day.
Yeah.
So I think lesson that we should take from that is that James sees all and hears all. Yeah.
Or I just texted him and I said, hey man, give Amanda Fran.
Did you give her up?
But no, it was a great conversation, and I think we'll definitely have to have a part two to this.
Indeed.